On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, a preview of the game between the Edmonton Oilers and the San Jose Sharks with JD from Locked On Sharks. All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, contributor at Fear the Fin, San Jose Hockey Now. I want to thank you for making Locked On Sharks or Locked On Oilers your first listen as I'm joined with Brett Holden. Brett, how are we doing today, buddy?
Oh, not too bad. Fighting a little bit of a bug, but I'm here anyways because we love hockey. What else can you do, eh?
Yeah, it's that time of year with the bugs. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you? How's the San Jose going down there, eh?
It's terrible. But at least we have Erik Karlsson and Timo Meier. So there's just, you know, and you're waiting for Eklund and Bortolo and hopefully Bedard to join the fracas. So then we'll be cooking. It's kind of crazy that we're past the halfway point. We have not seen Sharks Oilers at least once this season yet. So we're done. We've played the Ducks four times, but yeah, of course haven't played the Oilers yet. So Connor McDavid coming to town Friday, well on his way to being crowned MVP again because Connor McDavid's crazy. Let's start with this. How would you kind of explain the Oilers season so far as we reach the halfway point?
Well, if it wasn't for Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl, I would be concerned as to where we would be, which, I mean, is natural when you have two of the best players in the world on the same team. You lose one of them and you really wonder where that team would be. That's a natural question. But the team has no issue scoring. It's just preventing the other team from scoring. The Edmonton Oilers have had a lot of issues in their own end. I mean, Evan Bouchard has not progressed the way that everybody thought he would or wanted him to. We haven't seen a lot really out of Darnell Nurse out of his first year in that big $9+ million contract. And Edmonton Oilers fans aren't happy about it. Cody Ceci has been quiet this year. Brett Kulak hasn't been the defenseman everybody thought he would be this year as well. So it's just been a lot of, if only we could get a little bit more out of those guys. And then plus our boy, that's Tommy Salo over there, Jack Campbell over here with that big 5x5 deal, also hasn't really done too much or too well so far this year. Had a pretty solid outing against Anaheim last night and came in relief for Stuart Skinner in Los Angeles. But you need to see more from the Edmonton Oilers in their own end.
Yeah, especially, I mean, you're paying the guy $5 million. We saw this with Martin Jones in San Jose, right? You're paying the guy this much money. He needs to kind of do his job and stop the puck at some point. And that kind of felt like that was going to be the missing piece for the Oilers, especially after their Western Conference run last year. Solidify the net. You have McDavid and Draisaitl go do McDavid and Draisaitl things, and then hopefully everything will work out. But it's been a little up and down so far this season, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't help that the Oilers lost Evander Kane for a while after that horrific injury in Tampa Bay. Sounds like he's probably going to be back, if not next week, the week after, which is ahead of schedule, so that will help the Oilers. But the Oilers have been pushed around, too. Like, that's been the thing. From the net outside, or from the net to the forwards, I should say, outside of the defensive play, if I were to give a little bit of a poke to the forwards, it would be that there's been no grit outside of finally when the Oilers got Cleam the Dream Costin. So that's been nice. But there's some guys, I'm not going to lie, there's some guys on the Sharks I was looking at potentially bringing in for the Oilers and some grit. How about that lad you guys just got on waivers, huh?
Mikey Isamito. Yeah, he's been pretty fun so far. He's played a couple games with the Sharks, and I think he's kind of filled in the Luke Cunning role. Luke Cunning, the Sharks traded for this offseason, tore his ACL early December, and then, you know, he's kind of filled that role of providing that grit, but still has a little bit of skill with it too. Because yeah, if you just bring grit, I don't really care. You know, I don't. But if you can actually score with your grit, you know, like Jonah Gadovich, kind of another example of a guy like that who you know, isn't afraid to mix it up, but also has a little bit of skill. That's kind of, you know, that's fine with me. But I mean, kind of the story of the Sharks this season, though, you have to start with Erik Karlsson, right? Mm-hmm. You talked about Connor McDavid as being the best player in the world. Erik Karlsson's making his case to be the best defenseman in the world, if not one of the best players in the world. The way he has refound his game this year, having a renaissance type season, leading the league in points for a defenseman, on pace for 111 points this year, would be the first 100 point scorer since Brian Leetch did it in 92. I know Roman Josi really close last year, but yeah, and it's not like the Sharks are loaded with talented guys. This is Erik Karlsson having to kind of almost like Connor McDavid of like, oh, I'm just going to drag the team and make them fun and interesting every night, no matter who else is on the ice with them. So yeah, it's been that type of season for Karlsson, which is nice when you've paid him $11.5 million that you're finally reaping the benefits of it now.
Well, exactly right. And it's funny you mentioned Gadjevich too. That was actually the guy that I was looking at to maybe bring in some grit for the Oilers, because he does have a little bit of a scoring side to him. You kind of mentioned that too, eh?
Yeah. He can, you know, definitely fourth line type of guy, but I mean, he's a guy who, yeah, he's really kind of grown on me this year or so. Cool. Gadjevich, yes.
So you guys, we're going to talk a little bit more about moves in a little bit here, but you still have talent in guys like Timo Meier. I don't know if you ever heard of Tomáš Hertl as well. So how do you kind of feel with those guys this season so far, and especially with the output that they've had too?
Yeah, I mean, Timo Meier is having a career season, and especially in a contract year. He is an RFA after this year, so the Sharks could just resign him, or at least, you know, for 1 year and then kind of play this dance all over again. It's pretty much up in Timo Meier's court. If he wants to be a Shark, I'm sure Mike Greer, general manager Mike Greer, will do everything he can to make him a Shark long term. If he doesn't want to be a Shark, then I think Mike Greer is going to be looking to move him, and he would be a top line forward on any team. He can, you know, he's got 11 power play goals this year. He's got 24 goals in general. And again, this is on a Sharks team that is not known for their offense, and it's been a bad team this year. So if the Sharks were to move Timo Meier, they would get a haul for him. But then you're having to go out and look for a guy to replace Timo Meier.
Yeah, no, fair enough. As somebody who isn't in your shoes right now, a team who is fighting for a playoff spot, not a lottery spot, well, we never know with the Oilers right now, but what are you really looking for out of this season here? When you go into a game, and especially, like you said, four games against the Anaheim Ducks, who isn't really having a much better season. Actually, they're not having a better season.
They're in the worst season, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're going into game by game, what are you really looking for from the Sharks team?
One, to lose the game in regulation. That's the first and foremost thing, is to lose the game in regulation. You don't want any of those loser points stacking up. And two is just kind of building this kind of consistency and seeing, you know, we have new coach with David Quinn. I really like his system and the way he's developed, you know, kind of let his players, kind of his best players, be his best players, especially guys like Karlsson and Timo Meier. Let these guys kind of do their thing. But right now, the Sharks are in a weird spot because none of their prospects are upright. You know, you have William Eklund, their first-round pick from 2021. Thomas Bortolo, the second-round pick from 2020. You know, a lot of these guys are playing in the AHL in the San Jose Barracuda, and they haven't gotten a chance to play in the NHL. And you can kind of see with the Sharks, they want to slow play these guys and really let them develop. That way, when they make that jump to the NHL, they are 100% ready. So it's right now, it's just enjoy Timo Meier and Erik Karlsson do fun stuff every night, and that's kind of been the recipe for success for watching the Sharks, is hope for a loss and then watch those guys do fun things. So before we get into some potential trades, how can we help the Oilers and then also get something really nice back from them as well, let's take a quick break. Do want to let you guys know about our friends over at Built Bar. If you guys don't know by now, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. They have delicious flavors, you know, things like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond.
Oh,
each one of them covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. They only have 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And if you're like me and you're very impatient, you don't like to wait for things to get in the mail, now you can head over to your local Walmart or Sam's Club and pick up a box today. Walmart, they have a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double coconut or chocolate puffs, or coconut puffs, sorry. Or if you're close to Sam's Club, you can get a big 13-bar box that has brownie batter and churro. So good. Or if you want to browse all their flavors, check them out at built.com. Okay. We know the Oilers right now are kind of in that wild card mix. You know, you talked about there's some issues on the defense, issues potentially in goal. May I present to you one James Reimer, who is doing all he can behind this poo-poo platter Sharks team to kind of make them interesting. Reimer seems like a perfect fit for the Oilers, where you can kind of, you still have, you know, you still got Campbell, who's your number one, but Reimer can kind of come in. You know exactly what you're getting out of James Reimer. Would you like James Reimer, Brett?
You know what? At the start of the season, I think we talked at the start of the season as well, or in the off season, James Reimer did come up, and I think initially I was like, maybe not. I think at the start of the season, now thinking about it, it probably would have been all right, or something I would have pondered even more closer to puck drop. But you know what? Stuart Skinner has just been lights out for the Edmonton Oilers. 914 save percentage so far for him this year. A guy who's doing it on basically a league minimum contract as well. Has a winning record, which is shocking for the Edmonton Oilers as well. And a 2.96 goals against. So the nice thing about that is that he's young. He's 24 years old. The Edmonton Oilers are able to have a goaltender young enough to help develop and as well have impact starts for the Edmonton Oilers when a guy like Jack Campbell hasn't really had a lot going for him. So I think at the start of the year, James Reimer would have been maybe, especially if Stuart Skinner just wasn't ready for the NHL, but he's ready. He's here. And I think unless somebody goes down like a Skinner or a Jack Campbell, I wouldn't be confident enough in Calvin Pickard being back up for the Oilers. So, yeah, I would take a stab at Reimer if there was an opportunity there. But it sounds like he may be on the move you were kind of leading to here.
Oh, he's 1,000% getting traded. If the Sharks do not trade him, it's terrible management by the Sharks, because James Reimer's in the last year of his deal. He's been a great Shark for them. I know his numbers aren't that great, but if you look at, again, the Sharks defense, they have a problem of giving up, making mistakes at the worst time, and they become catastrophic type of thing, where it's just like, oh, we're not going to cover a guy in the slot and just let a guy, you know, kind of free range. So he's played better than his numbers would suggest. And he had a bit of an injury around Thanksgiving, kind of worked his way back. The game against the Kings, I thought, was his best game since his injury. And again, James Reimer is capable of stealing a game for you if necessary, and playing, you know, if you're starting goaltending, maybe he's going through a funk, maybe he's dealing a little bit of injury, Reimer can kind of come in and hold down the fort for you while your goaltending is kind of figuring it out. So for the Oilers, you've been kind of harping on defense. Is that, you think, they're going to be their biggest need heading into the trade deadline, is trying to shore up the blue line?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's been rumors going around now that the Edmonton Oilers have been in contact with basically every team who has a defenseman on the selling
with
market,
the pulse.
Really. Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see where the Edmonton Oilers go here. They need help in their own end. We said earlier that they have no issue scoring. Evander Kane's going to come back, and he doesn't have an issue scoring as well. So the Edmonton Oilers don't need maybe an Erik Karlsson, but could he help? I know he has a massive, massive number to him. What is your salary cap looking like?
Oh, it's
you're
a
gonna
mess.
Have to eat that contract. Yeah, really.
They're going to, but the problem is they already are eating. So they're eating part of Brent Burns's contract for the next 3 years. And you can only have three, you can only eat three contracts at a time. So if they do that, that kind of limits what they can do for the next couple of years, especially then you also have Martin Jones buyout on there as well. So you're kind of eating a lot of contract that you space that you is already really, really precious as it is. And I know the Sharks aren't going to be competing for a couple of years, and you're hoping guys like Eklund and Bortolo, they'll, you know, start to produce on their ELCs here soon. But I don't foresee why a team would trade for Carlson, who has four more years after this year on his $11.5 million deal. He's had an outstanding season, but we can't also wash away what we've seen from the past 3 years from Carlson, where he's struggled to stay on the ice. So he's doing great this year. I think David Quinn has done a really good job of kind of load management during like practice days, giving him maintenance days, making sure that he is ready for game day. And you know, that way he can kind of give everything he has during the actual games. But again, I don't see a team that is like, oh, cool, let me pencil in $11.5 million for the next 4 years right now. Yeah, that's easy, especially right now with so many teams up against the cap.
So what's the deal? How injured is Nuut Tavara?
He has not played one game this year.
He hasn't, eh? Okay.
No, he's done, yeah.
I've always liked him, so I just wanted to make sure, because I think he would certainly help the Oilers and not going to be worth a first-round pick like Joel Edmondson, maybe, or Vladislav Gavrikov, maybe. So
are you looking for more like a puck-moving defenseman, or do you want like a defensive defenseman?
We need a cycle killer type guy. You need somebody who's going to bang bodies in your own end, make sure the guys in front of the net are knowing that they shouldn't be in front of the net types, type deal. So the
Oilers have present puck-moving to you one Radim Šimek.
Really?
He's hurt right now. He's got upper body injury. I believe it's a concussion, but I think he's got 1 year left on his deal. He's got $2.5 million left on his deal going into next year. Really has refound his game under Quinn this year. I mean, but that's a lot of players this year. More than happy to throw the body around. You know, I think he can move the puck a little bit better than he gets credit for. But if you want a dude who can just kind of lay guys out, Radim Šimek might be your guy right here.
You might have just sold me here. I'm fully behind that. And hey, 6 feet, 204. He's got a little bit of.
He's a big boy too. He's a big boy. And if he wasn't a hockey player, I think he would be in like the Czech mafia. If you look at him, he's got like the straight hair. He's got the tat, like the sleeve of tats and stuff like that. Radim Šimek, it looks, is a dude you do not want to mess with.
Oh, that's what I want on my team. That's what I'm talking about. See, and that's what, and that's the type of player the Oilers need. Just that's exactly it. Just you need help in, or if you're the Oilers, you need help in your own end. You need a guy who's going to be able to feel comfortable in his own end and feel comfortable shutting down and playing against the opposition's best player. So, and could that be, I'm looking at a Chychrun. I like Chychrun. I know he is a certified puck mover and very offensively inclined, but he's on a pretty bad Arizona Coyotes team, and he would still has very interesting defensive metrics. So for me, that would be kind of where I'd go. But for a smaller deal like that, what do you think a Šimek would
I mean, you could probably get Šimek for like a 6th-round pick type of thing.
Wow.
Because I think the Sharks would be just kind of be happy to get it off the contract off. Again, as a bad team right now, you're trying to sell off your assets. I think if the Sharks were like, here, if you want Šimek for a 6th-round pick, you know, go wild, please, type of thing. So especially because, again, Šimek's a solid defenseman. I just don't think he's part of the long-term future of the Sharks, and it kind of frees them up to start to maybe play some of their younger defensemen in the Barracuda, who are starting to kind of earn their rights here to do that. So,
well, and so that kind of leads me into my next question as to how many players do you think end up getting moved by the Sharks this year? I mean, we hear basically every player from the Sharks could get a move, a Meyer, a Carlson, a Hurdle. Who do you think gets moved? How many moves do you think the Sharks make, and who, like how many players, not just moves, but how many players are sent out?
So Nick Bonino, I think, can go help like a team's bottom six. Same thing with Matt Nieto. If you need like a penalty killer, a guy who can also add a little bit of scoring, James Reimer, should be 1000% traded too, just because, again, he's on the last year of his deal. But all three of these guys are on the last year of your deal. If a team came sniffing around as, like I said, like a Šimek or a, you know, a Jacob Megna, kind of one of these defensive defensemen type of guys who are on small contracts, or, you know, like Jacob Megna's making vet min for the next 2 years. And then, yeah, if they want to go big game hunting and sell off Timo Meier, I would put the over under at 3.5 would be my over under for the trade deadline. And then that doesn't even include Ryan Merkley, their first round prospect from who's already for a trade earlier this season. So I'd put 3.5 as these Sharks guys who are going to be leaving San Jose.
Wow. That's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks here.
Content, baby.
That's all you can ask for.
That's all I can ask for. All right. Before we get into tonight's game and why I think the Connor McDavids are going to roll over the Sharks, let's take a quick break. Talk to you guys about our friends over at Bet Online. You guys know Bet Online is the number one source for all your sports betting info, news, stats, and analysis. Get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. You've got NFL playoffs this weekend. My poor, poor Dolphins are going to get steamrolled. You've also got NBA. You've got college basketball. Plenty of sports to choose from. Hockey. If you want to bet on hockey because you're listening to a hockey podcast right now, they've got you covered at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, which you do because you're listening to one right now, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info in. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. I'm trying to make my Murder, She Wrote thing. That super long, obnoxious pause. But anyway.
I love it. Hey, JD, it's okay. I'm a Bears fan, so.
At least you get the number one pick.
I know.
That you're going to trade for a small fortune there. So that's going to be fun. Yes. Exactly. And you have Justin Fields you get to watch for the next few years, too. So, you know.
I'll take it.
All right. The Oilers win this game if what, Brett?
Well, there's I actually, in yesterday's episode of Locked On Oilers, I did three keys for the Edmonton Oilers, three keys to victory for the Edmonton Oilers over the Anaheim Ducks and the San Jose Sharks. And the Edmonton Oilers did those things.
Arrived to the arena on time. Yeah. Well, Connor McDavid is not hurt. Yes.
Yes, exactly it. That's exactly it. But the first thing was they have to score first. The Edmonton Oilers need to score first and then put the pedal to the metal. They need to do exactly what they did against Anaheim. They scored the first goal, then the second goal, then the third goal. Actually, I think it was 2-1, if I'm not mistaken. But then it was 3-1, 4-1. It ended 6-2 in the game. The Edmonton Oilers never got off the pedal. And that is what they need to do against the San Jose Sharks. They can't allow the Sharks back into this game because I'm going to be honest, if the Oilers allow the Sharks to be in this game at any point, or if it becomes a little bit of a run and gun type game, yes, that does in theory go into the Edmonton Oilers' hands. But with the way the Oilers have played, and we can even go back to December 17th when the Oilers played the Ducks in Edmonton, the Edmonton Oilers fired 49 shots towards Lucas Dostal, and he stopped 46 for a 4-3 victory over the Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers need to just keep on pounding on the Sharks and can't let them into this game at all.
Yeah, I mean, the Sharks, they've been known to give up the first goal here and there. They did a great job against the Kings where that happened. They crawled back into it, made it to a 2-2 game, but this team has a tendency in the third period to collapse. They fold faster than Superman on laundry day when any adversity happens. And that's what happened. The Kings scored 2 goals in 2 minutes and it was game over for there. Barabanov added one late when they were extra attacker type of situation. But, you know, this game, it was 4-3 and it wasn't as close as the score was there. So, you know, I think kind of one of the big things I'm looking for is the Sharks penalty kill versus the Oilers power play. Sharks penalty kill is number 2 in the league. They have shown some cracks in the foundation though over the past kind of month. But when you have Connor McDavid and Draisaitl out there, that is a tough combination to stop. And I think if the Sharks' road to victory is you have to shut down the penalty kill as best you can, and then hope. Honestly, I think you have to get into a track meet with the Oilers and just hope that that Carlson and Timo can just outplay Draisaitl and McDavid. And then that is your hope, that, to be honest, because I don't think you can shut these two guys down. I think if you win a game, it's going to be 6-5 type of game for the Sharks, which would be really fun on a Friday night.
Exactly. But to the point of the power play, I mean, you mentioned Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Plus, then you have to stop Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who just scored his 20th goal of the season last night. You have to stop Zach Hyman in front of the net, who also has 20 goals on the year. Oh, and at the point, you can take your pick with Tyson Barry or Evan Bouchard. So, and I am shocked they are at second in the league on a penalty kill. How does that happen?
This team has actually been really good at the penalty kill for the past two seasons. They finished second last year behind the Carolina Hurricanes. And then this year they picked up right where they left off, despite having a whole new coaching staff. I think it's because of the forwards that they play out there, right? You have very defensively kind of sound forwards. You know, you have Logan Couture, you have Nick Bonino, Matt Nieto, Tomas Hertl, Nico Sturm, all these guys who are very, very good in their own end. And I think, and then James Reimer, I don't think Reimer will start this game, but James Reimer has been excellent on the PK as well to kind of mitigate any mistakes. But those guys, they do a great job of kind of getting on top of whoever the puck carrier and making them have to make quick decisions. If this team had any foot speed, we would probably see more shorthanded opportunities, but they do a good job of making the power play uncomfortable and not letting them get set up. So that's kind of been their key to success for the penalty kill over the last couple of seasons.
That is a sign of really good coaching. And honestly, I sit here and go, honestly, if the Sharks do the proper things, they could be a very interesting team down the stretch, or not down the stretch, but in a couple of years here.
Yeah. They have the foundation. They have a lot of pieces and stuff. And, you know, I think this team has been in need of a reset or an actual proper rebuild, but I don't want to go full like Coyotes where you just burn it down to the ground. I think there's a lot of pieces here that you can kind of utilize. And if you look at our friends in LA, the Kings, right? They went through the rebuild, but they kept guys like Drew Doughty around. They kept, you know, Dustin Brown until he retired, who can kind of help lead the way and be like, okay, this is how we do things here. And I think guys like Tomas Hertl and Logan Couture and hopefully Timo Meier can help lead the way as you kind of reinvent and kind of find your next core of things. So, all right, Brett, let's get out of here on this. Who wins?
Well. I think you keep talking about Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. I'm going to say right now, you have to watch out. I've already mentioned him already, but Klim the Dream. Klim Kostin has just been the absolute story of the Edmonton Oilers so far this year. You guys have to watch out for him. He's going to be banging. He's going to be shooting. He's going to be doing a lot of stuff. So you know what? Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl aside, Klim Kostin might be the X factor in tomorrow's game against the San Jose Sharks. And you know what? I think the Edmonton Oilers win big. They have to win big. Plus, it's Connor McDavid's birthday. Exactly. I mean,
spending the night out in the town of San Jose. That
the Bay Area, baby.
Bay Area. All right. Give me the score.
I'm going, you know what? I think they score another six. Why not? Let's go 6-1 because we all know you're beating Jack Campbell at some point. How about you?
I got the Oilers as well. I'll go 5-3. Give me Timo time. I think Timo Meier scores twice. So yes,
I love it.
Keep on taking, baby. All right. Where can the people find you?
You can find me personally at The Real Holden 40 on Twitter, TikTok. Heck, I think my MySpace is still The Real Holden 40. But you don't care about me. You care about the Edmonton Oilers, and you can find Locked On Oilers on Twitter at Locked On Oilers. Exactly how it sounds. Lucked into that one. And you can also find us on YouTube. If you haven't already subscribed to our YouTube with Locked On Oilers, what are you doing? You get Tommy Salo jerseys and obscure Jack Campbell Texas Stars jerseys. What are you
That's
doing?
That's pretty nice. You can, of course, find me on Twitter at MyFryHole. You can find the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Locked On Sharks. You can listen wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, you name it. You can listen and you can watch me on YouTube. Today I'm at my work, but at home, you know, I've got that sweet, sweet Eklund jersey that you can see in the background. So until Monday, bye, friends.